Chapter 20
A dinner! Oh, my!
Captain Nemus lowered the big iron triangle he was banging with a matching iron rod.
It seems as if I have interrupted. I'm terribly sorry. I'll just...
Then the pirate raccoon Jack Sparrowed away in a jangle of bracelets. Do you think he did that on purpose? I asked Amaya.
Oh, most definitely.
The Oryx woman giggled.
I do not know the captain, but the Soaring Light seems fond of him purely because of his antics.
He's going to be an interesting one to look out for, I smiled and fixed Amaya's shoulder strap that had drooped down during our passionate makeout session.
We should go freshen up for dinner,
the Oryx woman said, and she tried to tame some of the hair sticking up on my head. That'd be good, I sighed and caressed her cheek, and then we both went to our separate quarters. My heart was still fluttering by the time I opened the door to the modest suite my wives and I shared, and it only thumped harder when I spotted first Shay dozing on the bed. Then my heart nearly took flight when I spotted Zoe attempting to braid her midnight black hair in the mirror of the small vanity. It seemed as if she was having little success in how she wanted it to look if her scowl was anything to go by. In fact, I was pretty sure she was scowling the same way she would be if she was facing a demon. Goddess. Just when I thought I'd already fallen, I burst through another glass floor on my way to falling even deeper in love with her. Then I recalled the howling, empty loneliness Amaya showed me, and I swallowed hard around that echo of pain. This woman truly was like an iceberg in the sense that her complexity and depth was surprisingly unfathomable and hidden under the surface. I knew her life was hard, but I had no idea how she felt. Not even an inkling compared to what I knew now. Suddenly Zoe huffed and gave up the ghost with trying to style her hair. Her nose wrinkled cutely as she untangled her half-braid with frustration, and I just had to decrease the distance between us.
Hello?
She purred as I draped myself over her and pressed our cheeks together so our faces made a heart in the mirror. Hey, I whispered, and stared at her reflection.
Are you well, husband?
She asked as she nuzzled her cheeks closer. I'm perfect, I said, and I basked in her slow, blooming smile as I recalled the echo of that warm feeling suffused with love. It hit me just then that I didn't actually need Amaya as a conduit to know how my wife was feeling, because I felt it inherently every time she smiled at me. Then I turned her face so I could kiss her tenderly on her dear lips. She sighed when she pulled away.
I'm not complaining, but was there a reason I earned such affection without provocation?
Even the way she said that was so endearingly Zoe. You just being you, I replied through a giddy grin. Clang, clang, clang.
There's the dinner bell again,
the catwoman said, and we both turned as one to the still-sleeping beauty passed out on the bed. How long has she been asleep? I asked.
Since you said you were going for a walk,
she said.
We napped together for a while, but Shay still seems like she needs to sleep.
She basically planned the entire ball, and then she helped organize the crew and everything for the journey, I said, and I observed the way Shay hadn't even taken off her boots before she curled up on her side with both hands cushioning her cheek.
It hasn't been too long since she was afflicted,
Zoe reasoned as she tilted her head, and the two of us got up to inspect her a little closer.
There is still some shadow beneath her eyes, poor thing.
Yeah, we should let her rest, I said, as I gently slipped off her riding boots while Zoe loosened the buttons on her blouse.
Alex? So?
The Phoenix woman mumbled when the two of us attempted to get her under the blankets. Shh, sweetheart, I coaxed and tucked her now bare feet in between the warm covers. Early bedtime for you, okay?
Okay,
she sighed, and her crimson lashes fluttered like butterfly wings as her eyes succumbed to their heaviness.
We will bring you something from dinner. Sleep now,
the catwoman said and kissed Shay on the cheek. Clang, clang, clang. Jeez, we'd better go so he'll stop banging that thing, I chuckled. And then I ushered Zoe out and up to the cozy lounge-like quarters I remembered from the last time I was here. The stone lanterns hanging overhead cast a golden glow through the multitude of hanging red and purple scarves, and the sunken table and chairs were already filled with the ship's occupants, except for two.
Now all we have left to wait for are Siskorn and Siskern,
Jenner huffed as he gnawed on more bread. If only I had a Snickers for you, Mr. Jenner, I chuckled and stepped down into the sunken lounge area.
What are you fixing about?
The koala man asked as he brushed the crumbs off his blue jacket.
So that's what that word means, Horace muttered as he took a swallow of wine.
You seem displeased,
Anwar butted in.
Well, yeah, I thought it meant something dirty,
the Falcon Man answered back, but he was suddenly interrupted by a flying hunk of bread that bounced off his big forehead.
Hey! I believe Alex was on the verge of answering my question, you loon!
Jenner sniped and threw another piece of bread at Horace. I nearly lost my balance when I tried to lower myself onto the floor cushions and laugh at the same time.
And I have been thoroughly scolded, Horace grinned and ate the piece of bread that bounced off his forehead as all of us laughed.
Is it common for there to be such frivolity during the evening meal among all other island dwellers, or is Nata a special sort of uncivilized?
Regent Siskorn's voice was as placid as ever, but just like his name implied, his words had no problem conveying his heavy scorn.
Actually, my lord, I have been to almost every isle, and I can assure you, dinner time is where the most merrymaking is had, especially between people of different cultures.
Amaya slipped in as smooth as silk, and I was instantly relieved someone with similar social skills as Shay was able to fill in the gaps.
Will you please sit and try some more of Nata's native cuisine?
Are the courses prepared with those, spices you referred to, Siskern?
The Dino Man asked.
I'll have you know they are indeed!
Captain Nemus came running out of the side door like he'd been listening this entire time.
Natavian and Lenian fusion, actually. Cooked by me. No substitutions or refires. It comes how it comes.
I said.
Very well, Siskorn said neutrally,
and he and Siskern took a seat across from Zoe and me.
You're the chef and the captain?
Zoe asked with her ears perked as Nemus clapped his hands.
Yes, my dear. I wear multiple rings through my left ear, so to speak.
The zany chef-slash-captain gestured for his crew-turned-waiters to serve us platters with roasted legs of meat, pots of dense and flavorful gravies, and platters piled with bread. My stomach growled, and I wasted no time in digging in, especially because it seemed as if the Dino Man was once again occupied with his meal. The fact he seemed to find well-seasoned food a novelty gave me a bit of a grim outlook on what local Terran cuisine was like, and I savored every flavorful bite.
Speaking of more merrymaking, Regent, I hope you don't mind, but I also play the harp,
Captain Nemus said as he perched himself on the ledge of the lounge and pulled out a small harp. Then the crazy bastard actually started singing in a decent falsetto, like some fucking epic-ass bard. And as I watched the utter confusion on Siskorn's scaly face, I wondered if Nemus had this planned or if he was just finding ways to fuck with the Dino Man. Regardless, I approved of both.
And fell into the sea!
Captain Nemus finished his sad sea shanty with a soaring vibrato that would make the Vienna Opera jealous, and I tried not to smile at the way Siskorn froze with a leg of meat up to his slightly open mouth, as if the bizarre singing raccoon man momentarily put him off his appetite.
That was brilliant, Captain,
Zoe said and clapped her hands, which set off a rousing round of applause from the rest of us.
Oh, thank you, you're too kind,
the zany man got up and snapped his fingers, and the crew swept in, cleared away the empty platters, and brought out new ones.
In the spirit of all this hospitality, Siskern has invited me to share Terran tobacco with you menfolk,
the regent lord said and held his hand out. Siskern pulled something out from the satchel around his body and set it in the center of the table. As he unwrapped the protective leather from around the carved wooden object, Jenner helped clear the table so the lizard man could finish setting up what looked like a hookah with jungle vines as hoses.
Beg pardon, regent. Is the tobacco not allowed for women?
The Oryx woman queried with a non-combative blink of her wide, innocent eyes.
How absurd,
Siskorn said as he prepared a ceramic bowl of something that looked like charred tar.
Women folk are to remain pure and sweet-smelling like the rain. To befoul them with the lichen smoke would be a tragedy. Speaking of women folk, you sure ask a lot of questions. Is that typical of the Alemic?
It is more of an order thing,
Amaya said nonchalantly, despite how brazenly misogynistic the Dino Man's words were.
The Order is mostly women, and we are taught to think in ways that might be typical of your menfolk.
Hmm, he said as he eyed the Oryx woman like he was apparently stumped at that. Then he lit a lump of coal and placed the tobacco-filled bowl on the carved mount on top, and the coal in the hollowed-out chamber below it.
I will smoke the first dregs as is common, because the first is the most bitter,
Siskern offered, and took one of the vine hoses so he could get the bowl going.
The lichen smoke sharpens wit, and I also wonder if you would like to play a gambling game fairly simple in principle but difficult to master.
Siskern took the hose from Siskern and took a deep drag of the tobacco, and when he blew it out, the cloud of smoke smelled like cooking mushrooms. Not necessarily a bad smell, but definitely pretty funky monkey. I'm down to play, I said, and moved aside my empty plate.
I wouldn't mind, provided the rules are fairly simple, Horace remarked.
Why, because you're drunk?
Anwar giggled.
Ugh, you should know, you're the one who brought out your naughty silver flask, temptress,
he hissed, as he took the hose from the regent so he could take a pull.
I hope, just for that, it is extremely challenging.
Jenner teased fondly, and then reached across the Mech Sisters so he could take part in the shroomy tobacco.
It is actually pretty easy, Siskern said as he brought out a deck of bone-white cards.
What's the name of this game?
Amaya asked.
And can women play?
Anwar finished with a snarky edge to her deadpan voice.
Anna!
The Oryx woman chided, and the Ibex woman placed a few fingers in front of her lips.
Sorry,
she said, and carefully slid her chalice of wine far away from herself.
And?
The Augur woman said, and held out her hand.
No fair,
Anwar whispered, and she handed over a shiny silver flask like a college freshman busted with alcohol in the dorms.
I will answer your question because you amuse me, Siskorn said in the most unamused voice I'd ever heard, and I couldn't tell if that was an upper echelon thing or a sarcasm thing. Women typically do not play because there is no chance of them winning.
Why is that, my lord?
Amaya asked politely, but not in an overcompensating way.
It is because the demure sex tends to wear their emotions, no matter how subtle, right on their faces,
Siskorn explained, and he took the deck of cards from his brother so he could shuffle them.
I bet Zoe has a good stone wall she can call upon,
Jenner said, as he passed me the pipe hose.
I've been on the end of it once or twice.
Varthins are taught at an early age to suppress what one thinks before it can be used as a weakness from an enemy,
the catwoman commented as she waved away a curl of pungent smoke.
I would like to try this game.
Very well,
Siskorn said and doled out a single card face down to all of us around the table. Do we look at our card? I asked, and took an experimental drag of the tobacco. Surprisingly, it was smooth and yeasty like a good beer, and I didn't choke or gag or anything.
When I give the order, you will look at your card, the Regent Lord said, and took the pipe back from me. You will either find a black spot on your card or you won't. You are allowed to say if you have a spot or not, and the person on your left must try to determine if you are lying or not. The goal is to be the last one standing.
Simple enough, I remarked, and readied myself to flip the card in front of me.
Remember, the goal is no matter what is on your card, you do not want the other person to find out. So hide the truth upon your face,
Siskern added helpfully, and took the pipe from his brother.
Ready?
The Regent Lord asked, and all of us nodded and murmured our affirmations.
You may look.
There was a spot on my card, but I steeled my face and quickly glanced at Jenner to see if I could read his face the moment he discovered what he had. If I wasn't looking for it, I would have missed the faint twitch of his furry gray eyebrows. If his eyebrows twitched, then I wondered if he actually saw something on his card. But I was only about 50% sure about the fact. "Who starts first?" the Falcon Man asked, and returned his card to the table face down.
I will go,
Siskern said, and turned toward the person on his left, which was Horace.
I have the spot.
That's a lie.
No, true, it's true,
Horace decided.
Wrong,
the lizard man said, and flipped his blank card over.
Now I get to take a new card from the bottom, and can continue to play the next round. Horace, it is your turn. Make your declaration to Lady Anwar.
The Falcon Man began.
Lie,
Anwar automatically said.
Wait for me to finish, Ani, Horace hissed.
Sorry,
she said, and gestured for him to go again.
I do not have the spot, he huffed.
Lie,
the Ibex woman said again.
How did you know my answer wouldn't change the second time? Horace said, as he tossed down a card with a black spot.
I know you,
she shrugged, as if that was all the answer required, and then turned to the Augur woman.
I do not have the spot.
The Oryx woman said as she regarded her sister's blank face.
You do have the spot. It's impossible to win against you because you're my sister.
Anwar sighed and let her spotted card flutter to the table while Amaya faced Jenner.
I do not have the spot,
Amaya said.
Let's see here,
the koala man said as he observed the Oryx woman's pale face and tweaked his monocle.
You are much too honest-looking, but maybe you know this and want to use that to my advantage. So I say you're lying.
Not so,
she said, and revealed a blank card just like she said.
Oh, curse the dark, I overthought that one,
he grumbled, and then turned to me.
Okay, young man, let's see how your mental chess is coming along. Ahem. I do not have the spot.
I'm not sure if it's mental chess or just keen observation, I chuckled, and watched the little tick in his eyebrow that made him seem like he was in on something no one else was. And you are totally lying.
Well, that's it for me,
the koala man said, and pushed his spotted card back toward the pile in the middle. He didn't seem mad, though, especially when he winked proudly at me. I laughed and turned toward my catwife. I have the spot. Zoe said as her dissecting eyes crawled all over my face. But I thought of smooth marble and hoped my face would reflect that.
I think you're lying.
Sorry, kitten. I grinned and showed her my black spot. Better luck next round.
If she can get to the next round, that is, Siskorn reminded, and faced the Catwoman. I will warn you, I am very good at this game.
I'm sure you are, my lord.
Zoe tipped her head and stoically made eye contact with the Dino Man.
I do not have this spot.
What you say is truth, Siskorn said without having to think about it for too long.
My lord is correct,
she said, and flipped over her blank card.
I am out.
I have the spot, Siskorn said, and turned toward his brother.
Oh, you know I can never win against you, Siskorn,
the younger reptile brother said, as he squinted at the Dino Man.
You have spoken the truth.
False, Siskorn said, and revealed his blank card. Another round for those who are in.
I reached for another card, but this time I glanced at my opponent, Amaya first, and then Siskorn next before I even looked at my card. I figured they would both be my toughest competition, so I wanted to glean as much information from their expressions as I could in the short window when their guard was down. Easier said than done with Siskorn in particular. He was like a concrete wall without any cracks.
Okay, Lady Amaya, are you ready?
Siskorn asked as he started again.
I have the spot.
True,
Amaya said in her bubbly voice.
Ha! 'Tis a noble death to be slayed by you,
the lizard man conceded with a bow that made the Oryx woman giggle.
My turn again.
Amaya turned to me and composed herself. Or tried to, but the tremble in her lips gave her away almost right away, and even though she claimed to have the spot, I knew it was a lie. And she let her laugh finally loose as she showed the table her blank card. Now it was my turn again, and I turned to the Dino Man because Zoe was out. I have the spot, I claimed, even though I drew a blank card this time. But in my mind's eye, I pictured it anyway, so it was as close to the truth as I could trick my mind into.
What you say is truth,
Siskorn claimed. Sorry, big guy, I said, and showed him my blank card.
What?
He nearly shouted, and all of us non-Terrans jumped at the sudden animation that came from the usually placid man. When he noticed this, he pulled back.
Very good. That usually doesn't happen when I play.
Right,
Siskorn said, and I could tell he was trying not to eyeball his brother like all of us were doing.
I do not have the spot, Siskorn responded, and his stonewall expression was back in place.
You are lying,
the lizard man settled on.
False, the regent lord said, and reached for the next card almost eagerly. Final round, Brightwood.
Got it, I said, and I reached for my own card. Now that it was just the Dino Man and me, I thought now might be a good time to use the little ace up my metaphorical sleeve. So when he flipped over his card, I snapped into my time transfocus. Tick. The world slowed along with the beating of my heart, and Siskorn appeared to be flipping over his card in slow motion. Tick. I slowed the world down even more, and I honed my sight in on his impenetrable face for any sort of crack. As far as subconscious tells went, this man had virtually none. But as I watched each micro-expression on his face in HD, I did notice the briefest flare of his nostrils. If this was his tell, then I had to interpret what the action might mean. It could be he did see something on the card, and the anticipation might have triggered that involuntary reflex. Or he could have been steeling himself to lie. Snap! Time resumed, and I looked at my own card. No spot. I could feel his eyes on me, so I made sure to suck in a small breath just audible enough for him to hear. So who goes first? I asked, and placed my card back on the table.
You do, because we keep the same order, and I have consistently gone last, Siskorn said.
Okay, then I do not have the spot.
Lie,
the Dino Man said, and it was the closest I'd seen to a smile on his stoic face.
Sorry, pal, I said, and showed him my spotless card. 2 for 2.
Siskorn didn't have any sort of outburst like last time, but I could tell he was not pleased.
My turn, he growled.
And even though something dangerous about him warned me I should probably throw the game, he was also kind of douchey and entitled, and I really wanted to beat him. So before he could make his declaration, I summoned my metaphorical ace again. Tick. His nostrils flared.
I do not have the spot, he said through the syrupy slowness.
Lie, I claimed, as I came out of the time trance, and I watched as the Dino Man gaped at me.
How did you do that?
He demanded as he turned over his spotted card.
Like you said,
I popped a round orange fruit into my mouth.
It's about observing your opponent's face for little things that'll give away the truth.
But I never give away the truth, he insisted.
Are you sure about that?
I questioned.
You said this was a gambling thing, right?
Horace broke in before the Regent Lord could attempt to argue more.
I have some gold here that could make the next round a little more exciting.
Then the Falcon Man dumped a sack of gold coins on the table, and the ring of them sounded loud in the lounge area.
Gambling?
Siskorn said in a weirdly distant tone as his arctic blue eyes fixed on the spilled coins.
What?
My lord,
Siskorn said, and waved a hand in front of the Dino Man's face.
Are you well?
What?
He asked again, and I was worried his intense gaze might catch the table on fire.
Get that hand out of my face, you fool!
A silence descended upon the table, and the Regent Lord's eyes tracked around the table.
Siskorn,
the lizard man ventured.
Excuse me, his brother said and stood from his seat. I find myself growing weary from the day's events. I shall retire now.
Of course, I said. Thank you for showing us the game. The Dino Man clicked his teeth, but he didn't say anything else.
Siskorn.
The lizard man got to his feet as well, and with a confused frown, he followed his brother out of the lounge.
Well, that was odd, Horace said, as he gathered up his spilled coins. I hope I didn't offend him, but he did say gambling.
No, I don't think it was anything you did,
Anwar said with a curious expression.
Maybe that is just how Terrans are?
Zoe posited. Maybe, I murmured. But that night, I was bugged about Siskorn's odd behavior, and I kept tossing and turning until I finally gave up on sleep and got out of bed. With nothing better to do, I walked the ship as I let my mind wander. Mech's warning kept gnawing at me, and the things I knew about how the Dino Man was supposed to react, and how badly he lost his composure not once but twice, stood out as being a big deal. I didn't have any proof, though, and of course, before I could set my mind on the path of figuring out this new puzzle, the sounds of yelling and fighting could be heard coming from the starboard side of the ship.